We're holding Psachim, Bezem and Bez, the bottom of the page, the Sudat. Now, the Gemara has been discussing that the word Or means the evening of, and now the Gemara is going to question that. Mesive. Marzutra asked the following question. Masiv Marzutra. Marzutra asked, Hamapeles, we have a Mishnah that discusses if a woman miscarries. Now, let's read Rashi here, because we need a lot of introductions in order to understand this Mishnah. Bechrisus perek kama, hamapeles or lishmonim ve'echad, says Rashi, Bechrisus perek kama, the kaimelon, we darshan from the pasuk zois teras hayoledes, when the Torah begins the parasha that a woman who gives birth to a child has to bring a korban, so it begins with this introduction. Zois teres hayoledes. Melamed shemeviya korban echad al vladot arbe. We darshan from that that one korban is enough even if she has many children. Yechol shetaviya la leida shelifnei melot v'ala leida shelachar melot. We know that she brings her korban. Her korban is after she finishes the days of tahara. She has what's called a long hair of shemesh. A woman gives birth to a boy. So she's tamei for 7 days, then she goes to mikveh, and then she becomes completely tahor at the end of 40 days from the birth, 33 days after she goes to mikveh. That's called the long hair of shemesh. A woman has a daughter, so she toivels after 14 days, and then at the end of 80 days, 66 days later, she becomes completely tahor and she can bring her karban. Now, after that period, after the 80-day period, so then we say that's milois. Uvimlois yemei tahara lebein o lebas, the pasuk says. So we refer to that period, the 80-day mark or the 40-day mark, as milois. We filled the time to when she can be completely tahar, come to the Beis Hamikdash and bring her karban. So we darshan from the pasuk that she could bring one karban for a few children, but maybe you'll say that this is even if she had these children after Melois, after those 80 days. Maybe you'll think that means she could have the children months apart, years apart, and she could still bring one carbon. We have a meal. That if she had another child after Melos, after the 80 days, kigon shetavla lesof shvuaim shel nekeva. Let's say she toiveled after 2 weeks of having a girl. Vinitabra, and she became pregnant right away. Vepila, and then she miscarried. In toch melot epila, if she miscarried within the 66 days. Nifteret vekorban echad. So then in the end, when she'll bring her korban, that korban will be enough for both the child she had and the miscarriage. Vim lachal melot epila, and if she miscarries after the 80-day mark, then we say when the 80-day mark hits, so then she was chayav of the first korban for the first child she had, and once she was chayav for that, then that can no longer pater her from the second delivery she's going to have. Yeah? Okay, so הרי כבר נתחייבה בקורבן הראשון קודם לידה שנייה ולבסוף מלות של לידה שנייה. And then she miscarries, let's say, on the 82nd day. So again, she has to wait a period, whatever period of days that's going to be, 40 days, 80 days, after the melos of the second delivery, tavi shtei korbanot. She'll have to bring two korbanos. Now, the machlokes beis Shammai and beis Hillel is, v'mepila lel shel knisat 81. So the evening of the 81st day, she miscarried. Shekvar avra melot shela. She finished her 80 days. Avla dain in aruya lavat korban. But she can't bring the carbon. Why? She ain't korban ishat balayla. Technically, she could have brought the carbon tonight, because tonight starts her tahara. Tonight she's finished her 80 days. But you can't bring carbon tonight. She can only bring it the next morning. And on that night, she miscarries. So hamapelet, a woman who miscarries, ol ishmonim ve'echad, on the eve of the 81st day. So tomorrow morning, she could have brought a carbon. And then, once she could bring a carbon, that carbon doesn't pater the next delivery. But she miscarried that evening, where technically she could bring the korban, but there's a technicality. The fact that it's night prevents her from bringing the korban. Meaning, as far as her finishing her 80 days, she finished them. But she couldn't bring korban at night. She was waiting for the morning, and that night she miscarried. So Beit Shammai potrin mekorban. Beit Shammai say, fine, the ma'isa, she couldn't have brought the korban yet, and therefore the korban she'll bring on her first delivery will be good for her miscarriage as well. Uvet Hillel mechayvin. And Beis Hillel say, no, once she hit the 81st evening. Now, our raya is from the word or. We refer to the evening of the 81st day, or shmonim ve'echad. So, our raya we understand, but once we quote the Mishnah, we'll understand the rest of the Mishnah. Amulem bet ilele bet shamai, beis hilo tainet beis shamai, maishna o shmonim ve'echad miyom shmonim ve'echad. What's the difference between the evening of the 81st day and the day? Im shiva lo letumah lo yishvelo lekorban. If you agree with me that, let's see Rashi. We finished the melos of 80 days. That had she not miscarried tonight, but rather tomorrow, shechayevet, that she'd be chay of two korbanos, because when the morning hits, she is already mechayev the first carbon. Throughout the Torah, we find that the night and the morning have the same din. So why should there be any difference? If the odaya beisel bring another taina, we have a rule midoraisa. We're not knowing like this la halacha, but midoraisa, the Torah tells us that after a woman gives birth to a girl, so the first 14 days she's tummy, then she toivels, and then the next 66 days she's tahar, even though she may be bleeding, we treat that blood as that's the blood that comes from the leida. That's dam tohar, it's called. That blood is tahar. Now, today, la halacha, we're not knowing like that. But midoraisa, that's the din that the Torah tells us. That those 66 days, any dam she sees is tahar. So, Beis Hillel Taina, on the night of the 81st, you're masking to me that if she sees any dam, it's not dam tohar. You agree with me that legabe dine tuma and tahara, well, it's the 81st day. She left her melos. She left her 80 days. Now she's back to normal. So, the Odayachel Beisel bring another ayah to their case that on the night of the 81st, we'll treat it like the day. Do il veshavelo letuma. She'ad shkiyat hachama she'shmonim damet teorin. Ve'im tire lachar shkiyat hachama damet me'in. Ki ilu haya roa lemachar. Ve'lama lo yishvelo af lekorban. She'keshem she'im tapil lemachar titchayev. Kach titchayev al avlad she'lelo. Ve'tshuvat Beit Shammai b'masechet chitut ishnuya. And the Gemara in Carizus quotes us what was Beit Shammai's answers. They said, "Lo imamatem biyom 81, sheken yatzta leshat ruuya lavi b'korban, lefichach nitchayva b'korban arishon, v'shuv en leidash ne'anifteret bo. Tomru b'mapelet or le 81, shelo yatzta midei vlad arishon leshar ruuya lekorban, v'adamim she'atem umrim enam mochichim, sharei epida toch melot, tameh sheleidat me'in uptura min hakorban." But Shama, I say, that's no raya, because a woman who miscarries, well, the second a woman gives birth, be it a miscarriage or a birth, we say she's automatically tummy. Even if the miscarriage was within the 80 days. So you see, you could have tumma within milos, and nonetheless she's going to be putter from carbon. So the tumma is no raya for the carbon. You see that she could have a case where she's tummy, and she doesn't have to bring a carbon. So here you have a case she's tummy. That doesn't prove that she needs another carbon. So back to the Gemara. I'm starting from the top again. Hamapelet ol l'shmonim ve'echad, and that's the point we wanted, that the evening is called or. If a woman miscarries on the eve of the 81st day, Beit Shammai potrim min hakorban, uvet Hillel mechayvin, amru lehem bet Hillel lebet Shammai. So Beis Hillel have two tainos. Firstly, Beis Hillel say, wait a second, the night is always equal to the day. And secondly, they taina ma'ishna o 81 miyom 81. That's their first taino. What's the difference, the night from the day? And second taina, im shiva lo letuma lo yishvelo lekorban. If they're equal to Tumah, shouldn't they also be equal for a carbon? Tumah meaning if she sees dam that night. Mitkama bet Hillel bet Shammai maishna o 81 miyom 81 shmamina o urtahu. So I see from this discussion that the word or means the eve of shmamina. It's a good proof. Meitive, another proof regarding or. The the Gemara says in Svachim, Yachol Yei Nechal Olishlishi. We know that Shlomim are eaten for 2 nights and a day. Right? I'm sorry, 2 days and the night in between. So the Gemara says, maybe you should be allowed to eat the Shlomim the third night, the night of the third day. Yeah? Yachol Yei Nechal Olishlishi. Vidinu I could darsh nakav v'chomer. Zvachim nechalim yom echad, v'shlamim nechalim nishnei yamim. Ma lalan laila achayom, afkan laila achayom. Ordinary korbanos, when they're permissible for 1 day, a korban toda. You eat it for that day and the following evening. So too shlamim that are permitted for 2 days, you should get the following evening. Tamud lomar, that's why the Torah has to give me a miyut. Biyom zivchachem yachalim imochorat, v'anotar ad yom. Be'od yom hu nechal, v'eno nechal le'o shlishi. יכול יישרף מיד ודינו. זבחים נחלים ליום ולילה אחד, ושלמים נחלים לשני ימים ולילה אחד. מה לאלן? תכף לאכילה שריפה. By ordinary korbanos, your deadline is that night. If you finished it at night, good. If not, when morning comes, you burn it. So just after you have the period where you could eat it, you burn it. אף כאן תכף לאכילה שריפה. So maybe by שלמים also, if you can't eat it that night, you should have to burn it that night. תמוד לומר, והנותר מבשר הזבח ביום השלישי באש יישרף. There's this special halacha, that even though you can't eat it that night, you can't burn it that night either. You wait till the third morning, and that's when it's burnt. So again, our raya is, being that the Gemara, the Brisa, referred to it as O Lashlishi, Alma O Utush Mamina. Again, I see that R is the night. Good proof, the Gemara says. Toshma, another proof. Oshi Yom Kippur Mitpalel Sheva Mitvadeh. By the evening of Yom Kippur, you say 7 brachos in Shmona Esrei and Vidur. Shachrit mitpalel sheva mitvadeh. In the morning, same thing. The Musaf mitpalel sheva mitvadeh. The Mincham mitpalel sheva mitvadeh. Barvit mitpalel men Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer, Mishum avotav mitpalel Shmona Esrei shlemot, mimnei shtrich lomar havdala b'chonen adat. Alma or uto shma mina. Again, this is a good proof that or is the eve. Tashma detani de Bei Shmuel leile 14 botkin tachmetz loraner, and we have our Mishnah that says or larbas or boskin es chametz. So this here, this Braisa calls it leil arbasar. Our Mishnah called it or larbasar. Alma or urtu. I see or is the evening. So we brought all these rayas that or is the evening. So then how come our Gemara began by telling us that Rav Huna says Naghei, and we understood that Naghei means the morning. So the Gemara says Ella. Whenever we say Ella, we mean I'm taking back what I said until now. Then Rav Huna, then Rav Yehuda, the Kuli Alma Orutu. Everyone has to agree that our Mishnah that says you check chametz Orl Arbasar, it means the eve of Arbasar. Velo Pligi, and they're not arguing. Malki Atrei or Malki Atrei. Each one was using the lingo that was accepted in their area. Beatrei Rav Huna. In Rav Huna's area, Kahu Nage. So they called the evening Nage. Uve'atrei Rav Yehuda, Kahu Leile. And in Rav Yehuda's area, they called it Leile. But really, they're both talking about the same time. Betana Didan. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So then our Tana and our Mishnah.
She does Huna, Kahu Nage.
That their nickname for the night was Naghe. Just like when we speak about a person who's blind, we say he's Sagi Nohor, he's got a lot of light. He's blind, he doesn't see anything. But we call him, he's got a lot of light. We speak positively. So when Rav Huna referred to the night, he called it Naghe, the light time. What do you mean the light time? He meant the night. Wait, let's see. The Tana didan my time loktani lele. So Tana of our Mishnah, why didn't he say the night of the 14th? Why does he call it or larbasar? And we have to have a daf and a half discussing this. Says the Gemara, lishna malyu dinokat. Our Tana wanted to use a positive terminology. Wanted to use better way of speaking. Uchud Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi taught us a person should always take care not to say something disgraceful. The pasuk added 8 extra letters to teach us this concept. mina beima teora umina beima asher enina teora. The pasuk calls it the animal that's pure and the animal that isn't pure. It doesn't call it the animal that's tummy that's defiled. It prefers to call it asher enina teora. Now, teme'a and asher enina teora. So the pasuk added another 8 letters to teach us this concept. Rav Papa amar teisha. Rav Papa says we see the pasuk added 9 letters to teach us this concept. Shneimar ki yevech ha'isha shelo yiyet tahor mikirei laila. When there'll be amongst you a person who won't be pure because of an occurrence during the evening. So it didn't say asher yetame, it said asher lo yetaho. Ravina amar eser, vav de taho. Ravacha bar Yaakov amar sheshesre, shneemar, ki amar, that when Shaul saw that David didn't attend the feast, he said, mikrehu bilti taho, hu ki lo taho. He didn't say he's tame, he said something must have happened, he's not tar, because he's not tar. So it's another 16 letters. Look, Rashi does the math. Tanya deber b'Yishmael. Lo'olam yisaper adam b'lashon nekiyah. The Braisa tells the person should always speak in a clean language. Sharei bezav k'ro merkav v'isha k'ro moshav. Because the pasuk refers to what a person rides on. And when it's talking about a male, it says any merkav, anything the male zav rides on. And when it speaks about a woman, it's not nice to say she's riding on something. So the pasuk calls it what she's sitting on. That's a gentler way of saying it. So the pasuk is careful to speak in a clean language. So too, a person should be careful to speak in a clean language. Ve'omer, and the pasuk tells us in Iyov, v'tivchar l'shon arumim. Ve'omer, v'da'at tzfatai barur milelu. My ve'omer, why do we need these extra quotes? These other psukim that teach us this concept. V'chitem ani mili b'doraita b'drabanan lo. You might tell me, no, in the Torah, so the Torah is always careful. That's Hashem talking. But Chachamim in the Mishnah and the Braisa, they don't have to take extra care. They're not Hashem. So that's why Iyov teaches us v'dat svatay barum milelu. I made sure my lips spoke. They discerned to speak in a nice way. The Gemara says, wait a second. What was one of your proofs that when the pasuk describes a woman and the way she, when she's a zava, how she makes something tummy, the pasuk calls it what she sits on. Uvisha loktiv merkav. Is there no place in the Torah that the Torah refers to a woman riding? Ve'aktiv atakam rivkavna otav v'tirkavna ala gimalim. So it refers to Rivka that she rode on the camels. Hatam shum biatuta digmalim uchahu. Over there, because the when a person is high up on a camel, so the normal way is that they're rochev, and rochev is to cling on to hold on to with one's hands and feet. So that's the way a person goes on a camel. So that's why the Torah uses that lashon. The haktiv. On a horse or something else, a woman will usually ride side saddle. She doesn't split her feet over the animal. A camel is very high up. You ever ride a camel? So therefore that... Huh? Right. That's not the way it goes. Now, lirkov means to put one foot on each side of the animal. So that, where we could, we don't mention it. But on riding a donkey, on riding a camel where it's scary, so it's not normal that a person will sit side saddle on a camel. So there, the Torah uses v'tirkavna nagmalim. V'akti v'aykach Moshe et ishtov et manav v'yarkivem ala chamor. Hatam mishum banav uchahu. It's referring, it says Vayar Kivim. So the sons, really, that's how they ride on a donkey. So the pasuk, so to speak, swallows her in when it's referring to Vayar Kivim. He rode them on the donkey. Vahaktiv. Vahaktiv. Continuing.
Moshav
is sitting.
Were they really being Moshav or were they really being Rachel?
Who? Rivka and Narosel?
No, Rivka and Narosel, Amalish, the other kids.
Who, Moshe and his wife? Moshe's. Before that, the pasuk is describing the halacha of Zav.
Describing it in life, then, where it's not going to be.
Wait. The Gemara asks, "V'haktiv v'hiruchev telachamo." It says when Abigail was coming to David, so she's coming riding down the mountain in the middle of the night. It says she was rochev am lechamor. Hatam shum be'atut leila ucho. Yeah, she was riding in the middle of the night. It's scary. The only way a person goes, the normal way, is that even a woman will ride regular saddle on a donkey. Or else you could say that because she was scared of David, she rode that way. You could say because she was riding down a mountain, so that's the way you ride down a mountain. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Don't we find throughout the Torah that the word tamei is used? But the rule is as follows. Wherever it's just as long to say Lashon Nekiyah, not Lashon Nekiyah, so we use Lashon Nekiyah. Kol Echad Inefishin Milei, wherever it'll take more words to say Lashon Nekiyah, so then we say Mishtai V'Lashon Ktzara. Then we try to use the shorter way of getting the message across, even if it's not as Naki. K'damar Avuna Amarav, V'Amidam Avuna Amarav Mishum Rabi Meir, L'Olam Yishne Adam Tamido Derech Ktzara. A person always has to try to teach in the shortest way possible because a student has a lot to retain. So you always have to use less words. So that overrides this rule. If a person can say it in the same length, so then he uses Lashon Nekiyah. But if it's shorter to say it the other way, he says it the other way. And from here we see it's not just a question of shorter, but it's any way that the student will understand better. Because shorter is a better way of remembering. The same thing applies if he won't understand it unless you use other language. So you use the language that he'll understand. In general, we always aspire to use language that's clean. But if it's necessary to facilitate understanding the halacha, so then we use the language that's necessary. Oh, so those cases that the Gemara brought where it took longer, that's because the Pasuk wanted to teach me this rule. So it had an exception here or an exception there. The Gemara is discussing which one was the exception to teach me this concept. So that's Rashi will tell you that. Learn Rashi, you'll see he says it. Says the Gemara, V'cholheicha d'chiyada dininu mishtai b'lashon kavod, and whenever they're an equal length, so we use the more honorable term, v'arochev d'yoshev d'chiyada dininu kama rochevet, but rochevet and yoshevet are the same length. So then why does the pasuk sometimes use the word rochevet? The Gemara says, rakevet k'tib. Over there, really, it's a chaser, and it's still a drop shorter, so the pasuk opts for that one. Hanu, now a story. Hanu, tvei talmidi daviyat v'kamed rab. Two students were sitting before Rab. Chad amar shavitinu ashmaita k'davar acher. Misankan. What? I didn't understand.
It says
the Moshavas. What? We are going with our teretz before. But we're saying Rochevet and Yoshevet are the same length.
One's orphan, one's not orphan.
I think it's referring to I don't know which one it's referring to. So two students were sitting before Rav. One said, boy, this that we learned is like a pig that's tired. Another one said, this piece of learning is like a goat that's tired. And Rav wouldn't be with the one that Rav didn't want to Ishtai, I think, is talk with the one that compared the learning to a tired pig. Hanu tre talmidei daviyat v'kamedi ilel. V'chad minah Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'amela kamedi rebi v'chad minah Rabbi Yochanan. Chad amah, one quoted the Braisa saying, mipnei man butzrin b'tara v'en moskin b'tara. That Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had an argument, and at one point the Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, according to you, why is it that you force a person to harvest the grapes and his vessels are tahor, as opposed to the olives. And the other one quoted the argument that they said, why is it that you allow a person to harvest the grapes, you force him to harvest with tahor kelim, but olives you let him do betumah? When he saw the one who was careful to quote it in a nicer way, he said, certainly he's going to ultimately be a more Rabbi Israel. When they were comparing how little they got from the lechem upon him when it was divided at the end of the week, so one said, I got a tiny amount like a small seed, like a small kernel. And one said, I got a small amount like an olive. The other one said, I got like the tail of a worm. But they said, if he's speaking that way, there must be something wrong with him. They checked him out. They found that there's something that invalidated him, they found out he was a cholov. But if he was getting from the lechem upon him, that means that they had already accepted his yichus to serve on the mizbeach, and we have a rule, you don't check once a person has been accepted the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, they realized that not that something in his yichus, but rather that he himself was too hori, he wasn't fit for doing the avodah. Or else over there where he caused us to have doubt upon himself, so then we do check even though he was already served in the Beis HaMikdash. Which Svara? What? Yeah, if a person does something that causes us to say, wait a second, what's wrong with him, then maybe we will check. He's showing us we didn't check him well enough the first time. What? Sorry. Another story. Hahu Araman. There was an Armenian, Davasalik Vachil Psachim Yerushalayim. He used to go up and eat from the carbon Pesach in Yerushalayim. Amar, he boasted, Kol Ktiv, the Torah says, Kol Ben Echar Lo Yochal Bo, Kol Are Lo Yochal Bo. The Torah prohibits a Gentile or a person who's uncircumcised to eat from the carbon Pesach, and he was both. Vanaha Kachilan. He said, look, and I do eat Meshufri Shufri, I eat from the best of the best. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, when he heard him boasting, he said to him, "Nikasafu lach me'aliyah? Did they give you from the tail?" Now the tail is chalev; it's not kosher. So he was tricking him. He said, "What do you mean they gave you from the best? Did they give you from the tail?" Amalei lo. So he said, "No, no one gave him from the tail." So he said, "Ah, you see, kisakit latam emelu safu li me'aliyah." He said, "Next time, tell him, give me from the tail." Kisalik, next time he came, Amalahu me'aliyah safu li. You guys, give me from the tail. They said, the tail, we bring on the Mizbeach, we don't eat the tail. They said, who told you to ask for the tail? They told them, so he said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, don't really ask for the tail. So they said, what's going on here? So they checked him out, and they discovered he was in Aramoi. Vekatlu. So here there's a big discussion, why does he deserve the death penalty? They sent word to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, Shalom lecha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, Dat ben Tzivin, Umtzudatcha Pusa b'Yerushalayim. You're way out in Tzivin, and your trap is extended over Yerushalayim, because you, we caught him. So this is a similar story to the previous one, that because of something someone said, he was caught in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara brings it here. And there's a discussion in Tosfos, why is it Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira didn't come to be Ola Regel? Tosfos, why does he have to do this whole trick? And this concept of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira and Metzudas HaPrus of Yerushalayim is quoted, there was a Talmud of the Gra that printed a Siddur, and he promised in his introduction that he'll print the Avud Ram on the Siddur. And he got askamas and he was ready to print before someone else, but that other person managed to beat him to printing it. And that person lived in the other side of Europe. But that person got a letter from the Nod Yehuda, where the Nod Yehuda said, you printed the Avudram, and one of the things they used to do in those days to ensure that the printing was worthwhile is they'd place a chayrim, a ban on anyone from printing that sefer for 10 years or 15 years. So this Talmud of the Gra, so he writes that he lost his wife, he lost his children, many tragedies befell him, and he went to the rabbis of the community and he said, wait a second, what should I do? I promised my readers that I'm going to publish the Avudram. But the Nod of Yehuda already signed that a cheirem on anyone who dares print the Avudram for the next 10 years. Now, I was ready to print it before that guy, so really I should have first rights. He shouldn't have a right to print Avudram. I should have a right to print Avudram. And we don't live one next to the other. He lives in one end of Europe and I live in the other end. My printing shouldn't affect his business. But should I do it or not? So they quoted him this Gemara. They said, no, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, you see that Talmud Chacham, what he says could extend all the way from Netzivim to Yerushalayim. By the same token, after the things that befell you, don't print the Avudram in your printing of the Siddur.